They won that one with a final score of 11-6. So great job there.
Is college even necessary to get into the NBA at this point?
Got to focus on the game. This is not an easy win.
He's the most hyped up prospect since LeBron James.
This is the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome here to this episode of the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook. I'm your host, Michael Hooker. We have a great episode for you guys today. We're going to be talking about NBA award predictions, the NFL draft reactions with me and Zion, and then we're obviously going to end it off with, I believe, which athletic franchise is the greatest of all time across all sports. So it's definitely a great episode. You want to stay tuned for more, but you are listening and watching to ASN's Inside the Playbook. Welcome here to this segment of the ASN Inside the Playbook alongside Liam Davis. My name is Michael Hooker. Today, Liam, we are talking about our NBA award predictions. Mm-hmm. Outside of one of them, it has already happened, the sixth man of the year, Peyton Pritchard of the Boston Celtics.
I'm a Boston Celtics fan, so I agree with this pick. I know you don't. We've talked about this.
I think somebody else, but I thought it should have been Malik Beasley. I mean, came into the Pistons this year, broke a franchise record for like most threes made by a single Pistons player in a single season. I feel like he was more valuable to the Pistons than what Pritchard was to the Celtics, just because the Celtics have so many stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's I feel like is the best argument for Malik Beasley. But ignoring all that, we're gonna go Coach of the Year. We have Kenny Atkinson of the Cleveland Cavaliers, J.B. Bickerstaff of the Detroit Pistons, and Ime Udoka of the Houston Rockets. Obviously, they did not put Joe Mazzulla on here for the Celtics because they had a good record last year. Coach of the Year means you took them from bad to good. I don't know why the Cavs are on here. They were a playoff team last year. They just improved their record by some games.
Yeah. I think I'm going to give it to J.B. Bickerstaff because last year the Detroit Pistons were the worst team in the league by far.
Yeah, broke the
And now they're one of the best in the league.
I wouldn't say one of the best.
I think they are. They're such a young team. I say give them 3 or 4 years and they're a one seed.
Yeah, but like they're a six seed right now. They just got, I think they're what, down 2-1 to the Knicks right now in the playoffs.
And but the Knicks really are a good team.
Yeah, but Jalen Brunson's a foul baiter. That's for a discussion at another time. Honestly, I'd give it to Ime Udoka. I'd kind of give it to him because he's been building up this team the past few years, and they finally know that they have all.
Didn't the Rockets just lose in the play-in?
That was last year, and they had a very young team.
No, I'm pretty sure that was this year, because last year they weren't good at all.
Liam, they're the third seed in the playoffs right now. You don't know ball.
No, I don't.
I'd give it to Ime Udoka just because the Houston Rockets went from bad to play-in to top three in the West, which is very good this year. So. Ime Udoka of the Houston Rockets is my pick. Liam picked J.B. Bickerstaff of the Pistons. Clutch Player of the Year. This is a newer award. I think it's only a year or two old. Last year, I know Steph Curry won it, which was a good pick. This year, the three players are Brunson, Ant-Man, and Jokic.
I'm going to give it to Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, out of those three, Anthony Edwards is the best pick. Brunson, he never takes clutch shots. It's always somebody else. So you can't put him up for a clutch player of the year. And Jokic, I'll say this, end of shot clock, you can play defense for the best 23 seconds of your life, and Jokic will just chuck up a shot over his head from and like 40 feet and he'll make nail it. I don't understand it.
It's crazy. But I just think Anthony Edwards has done way more stuff at an end of a game than any of these players have.
Yeah. Most improved player. We're flying through this, but most improved player, it's a walk away Cade Cunningham.
And the other people were Dyson Daniels and Ivica Zubac.
Yeah. I mean, Cade, he's so good.
He has carried this Pistons team.
He is so good.
Yeah.
Also, I have noticed with the Pistons that Jaden Ivey is not playing. Is he out?
He tore his MCL or ACL or did something to his leg that was really bad.
I feel like they'd be like the 5 seed and playing the Pacers right now.
Hey, if you know ball, what college did Cade Cunningham go to?
He didn't go to college, I'm pretty
sure. Yes, he did.
No, he did.
Yes, he did.
I know he went. He was on Montverd Academy. The 2020 Montverd Academy will never
Is that Cade in him?
Anyways.
He went to Oklahoma State.
He went to OSU?
Mm-hmm. Drafted number one overall.
Out of all the schools that this kid could have gone to, he went to OSU.
Mm-hmm. Played 1 year, averaged like 20, and then went to the draft.
All right. That's fair. DPOY. Probably one of the worst DPOY races I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Daniels, Draymond Green, and Evan Mobley. Now, this is not prime Draymond. this is old man, triple single Draymond Green. But he's still, if you go back and watch his tape, it makes sense why he's up for it.
Yeah.
Dyson Daniels, yes, he leads the league in steals. But outside of that, when he's not on the floor, the Hawks still have a terrible defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their defense isn't good with him on the floor versus without him on the floor. Evan Mobley, on the other hand, very good post defender. Does he make a difference when he's on the court? Yes. No, does he make a difference when he's off the court? Not really.
The Cavs are such a good team and well-balanced that, yeah, Evan Mobley will get a block or two in a game, but does that really matter for the Cavs? No, because they can score. They could,
right.
They have Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell playing defense.
Right. Like, they have the perimeter.
And then they have Jarrett Allen, too.
Right. Like Evan Mobley, they don't really need him. So
I'd probably have to give it to Draymond Green.
I mean, yeah, he's been. I think the difference when he's off the court is so much different. Like, there was a difference. I did see this during one of the Houston Rockets Warriors games where they, like, did a comparison of when Butler's on the floor versus off the floor. When he's on the floor, they're like first in every defensive category. When they're off the floor, when he's off the floor, it's like 10th, 12th, 13th, stuff like that. But then it's like, okay, but Draymond's on the floor. So that's why they're that high. Take Draymond off the floor. They drop
their best defender without Draymond is Steph Curry. And Steph Curry is not a good defender anymore.
No, he's not. Which that's off of like injuries and just old age. He's 35. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's just how he's slowing down, but he's not bad. It's just, he's small with how big and physical the NBA is starting to get. His size is definitely being a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Rookie of the year. I think this is also a clear walk away. In my opinion, you may have a different one. I'm giving it to Stephon Castle. And let's be real, it's only between him and Zachary Risache. Yeah. Jalen Wells of the Grizzlies.
Who? Well, I'll give it to Zachary Risache because, yeah, he was a number one pick. But who really expected him to average 15 a game and have 5 assists?
I think if you're the number one pick, you're expected to do that.
Yeah,
Stephon Castle wasn't the number one pick. I don't think he went first round.
I'm pretty sure he went first round.
I don't remember if he did or not, but like, the guy came out and he's so good.
Yeah, Stephon Castle was drafted number 4.
All right. Yeah. But like, he's really good. I think he played better than Risha this year.
I just think
Risha struggled early on. That was his.
Yeah. And then he really picked it up. But I didn't really hear Stephon Castle until towards the end of the year, also, whenever Wemby went down.
Yeah. But like, Castle was always there.
Yeah.
Like, if you go back and watch the early season Spurs, he was always there getting buckets.
Because Wemby went down and then Stephon Castle picked up the scoring role.
And then they traded for De'Aaron Fox. So that brought him in.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get on to like the all NBA teams. First is the all NBA rookie team. And obviously we have Castle, Risache, and Wells because they're the 3 front runners for rookie of the year. And then we have Kloher, the Miami Heat, and then Zach Edey, the Memphis Grizzlies. That is such a tall, front court.
Yeah.
7'7" and 7'4"
To be fair, there wasn't really other good centers and forwards from this rookie class.
No, but Khalil Ware is actually a stud. Mm-hmm. He's a stud. The Heat have developed.
Like from IU to
now,
the draft, everybody had thought that he wasn't going to be good because he was inconsistent at IU.
Yeah, but he went to the right system.
And now he's at the Heat, and the Heat know how to develop centers with Bam Adebayo.
And I think Khalil Ware is going to develop even more because I feel like they could slide Bam to the four and put him in the five. Next, all defensive team, Dyson Daniels, Amen Thompson, Draymond Green, Evan Mobley, and Triple J.
Triple J has just been...
He's been
the best defender for 4 years now, except for this year.
The former DPOY is proving why. Draymond Green, front runner, in my opinion, for Defensive Player of the Year. Obviously, he's going to be on the all-defensive team. Amen Thompson, the Thompson twins, you can make it a six-man on this team would be Asar.
Asar, yeah.
I don't understand what it is with those two. They're both good at defense.
I mean, they both went to OTE, and they both trained with the best coaches.
Right. Dyson Daniels, you're going to get like four steals a night out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have a lot
of... It's giving me Jose Alvarado vibes with Dyson Daniels.
Yeah, but Dyson can actually score on the other end.
Yeah.
Jose couldn't. All-NBA first team next. So we have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Cade Cunningham, and Donovan Mitchell. So this was kind of tough for me and Liam to make. Like, these teams were very tough. We had a lot of discussion.
There's a lot of very good players.
Yeah, there's so many good players in the league this year. Like, there was a case, like, on our second team, we have Jason Tatum. There was a case for him on the first team. But there was also...
We have LeBron on the second team, too.
Yeah, LeBron, he's 40, and he's doing what he's doing. But also, like, you could make a case to where somebody on the third team could be over him on the second team.
And then we have Jalen Brunson, who was, like, fourth or fifth in the MVP race on the third team.
Yeah, we have him on the third team because there's so many good guards. Mm-hmm. Like our guards on the second team are Curry and Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Our second team is more forward-heavy with Evan Mobley, LeBron, and Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
And then our third team is more...
Wait, speaking of LeBron...
Liam has a LeBron James shirt on.
Sorry.
And our third team is Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Halliburton, Jalen Williams, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Alperen Şengün.
Tyrese Halliburton was voted most overrated player.
He's still
good. He's been doing good in the playoffs.
He's still getting the buckets. And the Pacers, are exploiting the defensive liabilities in the box. And I can tell you who they are. It's Dame and Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
Because Brook can't play defense on the
Brook's
switch.
Brook's too old.
He's too old and he can't play defense on the switch.
Dame's undersized and old.
Yeah. All right. The one that everybody wants to know. MVP. SGA, Giannis, and Jokic. I think there's a clear winner of who it is, but there's a controversy of who it should be.
The fan vote has to be Jokic. That's my vote too.
But it's going to be SGA.
It's going to be SGA because SGA, he's averaging 30. Oh, he's so good. Oh, he can score from everywhere. He's a free throw merchant.
Actually, I saw this graphic. He's still like top three in points, even without free throws.
Yeah.
Which is still nuts. Like, you could say he's a free throw merchant. He doesn't need the free throws. He just gets to the line.
Yeah, but if you see the way that he gets fouled, like, he'll barely even get touched, and then he'll fling his arms in the air, and they'll call it a foul.
Harden won the MVP off of that, though.
True. But Harden did average 60 for a whole month.
That is true. I don't think SGA's done that. But I don't know. I feel like it's just gotten to the point with Jokic. He's done the same thing for so many years.
I know,
it's
but
like,
he's averaged a triple-double for...
I just think it's become to this point where it's like, dude, we like just stop. Like, we don't care anymore.
He just wants to go back to his horse.
Like, honestly, retire. Just retire, dude. You know, he's made enough. Here.
He just needs one more big contract and then he'll get all the money and then he'll just go back to
just give him like 1 year, $290 million, and he'll be like, I'll retire after this year.
Oh, I want to go back to horse.
I can't imagine him riding a horse. He's too big.
I know.
Giannis is in this conversation. He quietly had one of the best years of his career.
Yeah, but people just over and beyond him because he's supposed to be so good. And he started out not good, and then he picked it up at the end.
Right. And he's having to carry the shell of a Bucks franchise in the playoffs right now, and he's getting beat 2-0. Yeah. The Pacers will let him score all he wants. They will just take away every other option and force Giannis.
Yeah.
And then when he's off the court, they'll just exploit him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is our NBA award predictions outside of Sixth Man of the Year because it already happened. Other awards may get announced between the time of us recording this and the time it gets posted. But yeah, for Liam Davis, I'm Michael Hooker. You guys are listening to ASN's Inside the Playbook.
Keep yourself informed about everything happening on campus and in the community by tuning in to 91.7 WEEM. From tonight's broadcast highlights to various school and community events, we've got you covered. Follow us on Instagram, X, Facebook, and YouTube to stay in the loop. Don't miss out. 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM, we welcome you back to Inside the Playbook. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside
Lucas Williams.
Now, Lucas, we're here and we're going to be talking about who is the greatest franchise of all time. This includes all sports, baseball, softball. I don't know why I said softball. We're really not going to talk about softball.
Yeah, we're not talking about softball.
Hockey, football, everything. Starting off, who do you think? Like, give me your take.
You know, I don't really know off the top of my head. The one thing I will say is we're focusing on American sports. We're not including like the rugby or the cricket, you know, international team. It's like,
I talked to Mr. Watson about it, like when I'm brainstorming ideas for us to do this, and he was like, where would you put like Madrid? And
I'm yeah,
like,
where'd you what? Put FC Barcelona in this?
I think that's what he said.
Then it's like, oh, wait,
we know about American sports, all right?
Yeah, like obviously I know a little bit about soccer, especially like Real Madrid and FC Barcelona. Those are like D2 in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, let's focus on something that we're more familiar with and also the viewers are probably.
So the team that first came to mind for me and Mr. Watson was the Yankees. It depends how you categorize greatest franchise. You could do it on championships. You could do it on, I think a big part of it is like recognition. Yankees, you see that logo everywhere. You're in New York, you think of the Yankees. It's an old franchise. You can categorize this in so many different ways. So I think for me, I think the Yankees don't have it. I think they're a really good conversation, though. They've got 20 rings. They are almost in a 20-year drought, though. They are not staying relevant.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. But now at actually 27 rings, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no other MLB team that's going to hit that amount anytime recently. And if they do have 27 rings, then 5 other teams, though. But yeah, as you mentioned, they've been in a drought for about 16 years now. The last one was one when I was only 2 years old, back in 2009. So a lot of the rings, of course, were won between 1920 and 1960. And we can sit here and list all the amazing players that have played for the Yankees. I mean, obviously, you know what comes to mind when you think of, you know, Yankees from 1920 to 1960.
Yeah, there's so many names. I think who are the other teams in consideration? Let's just list them out. Lakers, Celtics, Patriots. I think the Dodgers should be in this conversation. Yeah. Mr. Watson's a big hockey guy, and he said the Canadians, they got like, they're like the Yankees of hockey. They haven't won a cup in so many years, but they have like 16 of them or something.
Yeah, I think he said something around 20-something.
They have a ton. So,
yeah, but I don't know a lot about hockey.
That's why I don't think that's very valid in this conversation, because everyone knows when they see the Yankees logo, I think it's the Canadians he's talking about, when they see their logo, they're going to be like, who is that? You know?
Yeah.
I think the Dodgers, if we're talking about recognition, which I think is a huge part of this, because it's about staying relevant, staying in a talking point. The Dodgers are always good. You know that logo. You know that LA, that's more than just a sports team. That's a style, and they use that in the West Coast.
Yeah, also something I kind of want to mention on that same type of topic is if you are a player and you're getting drafted to a team, if you were drafted there now, right now, what would you be feeling like considering all the other teams right now in the league? Like, there's one that I got mentioned on here, the Dallas Cowboys. They haven't been good since we've been alive. I can tell you that for sure. They were good in between the 60s and 90s. So yeah, they have 5 rings under the belt, 3 of them coming in 4 years. But other than that, there's nothing to mention about. Like, the Cowboys, it just...
Yeah, I
mean, they have the worst fans.
I know. They're America's team, but they're not, you know? They're not.
They're not America's team anymore.
I think let's start eliminating teams from contention here. So, Cowboys, you're gone. Yeah,
that thing was out.
All right. Another good team, I think, is Lakers. Of course, they're like the Yankees. You can name 100 players that played for the Lakers. They're like one of the most notorious franchises. 17 rings, latest being 2020, so they're staying relevant. You mentioned that one with LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're up there. I think they're up there.
Yeah, but I already know what fan you are for NBA, so why don't you just... Say the team that you like.
It's got to be the Celtics. 18 rings in the latest being last season. Another contention for another this year. Staying good. They've got the players in Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Jason Tatum, Bill Russell. How many rings does Bill Russell have? Like
11. 11 rings, but those all came in the 60s.
So that's what I was talking to Mr. Watson, and he said, you know, they had the Bird era and the Bill Russell.
Yeah.
And then they went dry. And then now they picked up with like Paul Pierce and they've been good since then.
Yeah.
That these teams have eras where they suck. And I think that completely eliminates them.
Yeah. If we're talking about eras here and you're looking at different eras, this list is completely different. Like right now we'd have the Bulls on here. If we were in the 90s, 2000s, even early 2010s, there's no reason why the Bulls wouldn't be up here. But times have changed. The Bulls haven't.
Michael Jordan made that logo famous.
No one else did.
Exactly.
I mean,
maybe Derrick Rose, but it was already famous.
D Rose,
I mean?
Already.
Exactly.
And he was there for what, 2 years, 3 years, or something like that. I mean, he was barely there.
That team is not what it is today culturally if it's not for Michael Jordan. And this is about your franchise. This is not about one player. They're out of contention, you know?
Yeah, there's no way that the Bulls can be on here. And it's sad because if they just kept on. I mean, obviously, you're not going to repeat what you did with Jordan. I mean, doing three-peat twice is ridiculous. Like, that, you're not going to see that much ever now.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't done anything since. Like, they had D-Rose, and he was looking so promising, and then he got injured, and they just haven't been that team.
Yeah, you also got the Patriots on here. As a fan, I love that. They've got six rings, and their guy, like Michael Jordan, is Tom Brady. You know, they had a great era. The Patriots have been here since 1960. From 60 until 2000, they were no one. They were no one.
Matter of fact, you want to hear this little record right here. Before Brady, they won 119-151 in a single tie. So below 500 throughout, you know, all those seasons, that's horrible. Right as soon as Brady and Belichick get there, it coast to a little 226-121 with all of their Super Bowl rings being won in that time.
I think you got to take them out because they were not, I'm not saying you always got to be good. Some teams are going to have up and down seasons, but they were nobody from like 1960 to 2000.
Yeah, since the start of the NFL.
They moved like 3 times.
Yeah, and That's just so hard to say. Is like you have other teams like here, like Lakers and Celtics. Those have been good in the past. They're good now. They were good in the middle. The Patriots weren't good at all in the beginning, but and now they're not as great as they were. And also, I feel like it's kind of like the Lakers in the way where during like you know the like 2020 and around that era, I feel like some players that just went to the Patriots. Like Randy Moss, which, you know, isn't during 2020, but who knows Randy Moss on the Patriots? Just like Antonio Brown. Like, you don't think of Antonio Brown, you're like, oh, man.
That's
a Patriots player.
I only know this because I know ball and I know the Patriots, but like, I think Randy Moss had like one of his best seasons in the Patriots.
Yeah,
that's
actually pretty sure he did too, but like, you don't think Randy Moss, you're thinking, oh, 84 Vikings.
I think Antonio Brown played a game.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, so last night was the NFL draft. The Patriots took a lineman and he said, like, I'm proud to wear this logo. Like, that logo means so much. And I think While that does help this case, the other teams are so more powerful. So you're going to see that LA Lakers logo. And that's, I think that's more than just a thing on your jersey. You know what I mean? You see that on shoes, shirts, pants, hats, everywhere.
Yeah. And that's what you're going to see with, you know, pretty much all of these logos. And also, you know, the pretty simple ones like the Yankees, it's an N and a Y, but as soon as you see it, you know what it is. It's the same with the Dodgers. It's the same with the Lakers. It's the same with the Celtics. You see that logo and you immediately go, I know that team.
Mm. I think, so sadly, Patriots gone.
Yeah.
And then I think Celtics, you got to get a room from this conversation. I think there was that period where they weren't very good. And the Lakers and Yankees, I think they just take the cake on over the Celtics. You compare those three head to head. I think the Celtics are gone.
Yeah. And I know you're a Celtics fan.
So. I know.
You got some gut to admit it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, both Patriots and Celtics gone. I mean, Patriots, Boston's title town, all right? No one's going to take that ever. But I don't, these, for this conversation, they're historic. They're old. They've always been, they're one of the first in the sports. You know what I mean? I think you really got to have that. And while the Celtics are old, you know, they're not the Yankees. I just, that logo means so much is what does it for me. Who make your pick? Lakers, Yankees.
I mean, I think I got to go with the Lakers just because they're still good now. And the Yankees, and although they did go to the Super Bowl last year, or Super Bowl, wow. The Super Bowl, wow. I can't believe it. I don't know what I'm talking about right here.
I was going to Google the longest drought for the Lakers, because the Yankees are in a big one right now. I mean, they haven't won a title since you were like two. Technical difficulty says I can't. But nonetheless, I think I got to give it to the Lakers. I mean, you've got your legends. They're still relevant. They're still good. They're frequently in the playoffs. You use the term old heads a lot. Old heads always know about the Lakers. You know what I mean? Like, they know what's up. They know about the Lakers. And I think they take the cake and they're the greatest franchise of all sports.
So I just looked it up. The longest Lakers drought was between 91 to 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you also had the Jordan era there where
the 91
to
2000.
And then guess what happened right after 2000?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
it's gotta be the Lakers.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
unless the Yankees just, you know, win three in a row, I guess. But that's not going to happen.
It's not happening. I don't know. They're making some splashes, but I mean, they went to the World Series last year, but I think this one's pretty obvious. We did it. We solved the case.
Yeah, we did it.
We did it.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, more great content. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network 91.7. Inside the Playbook, 91.7 WEEM.
The greatest hits from the greatest decade. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 9 a.m. All your favorite hits and more from Nirvana. Load up on guns, bring your friends home. To the Spice Girls. We have it all. Only on 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this segment on ASN's Inside the Playbook. I'm Zion Palmieri, and I'm joined here with
Michael Hooker.
Now, we're here to talk about the NFL draft. Of course, it just happened last night. We made our predictions in our last episode of Inside the Playbook, and we're going to see how well we did. First off, start with the Titans, Michael.
They went with their expected pick, and I had Cam Ward, the quarterback from Miami. I got nothing much to comment on there. That's probably the best pick. You know, they need a quarterback. They need a lot of other things, but quarterback was the main one, and they started off well. If you notice, I put grades on there. It's an A. These are all from the NFL official website and how they rated it. So they got an A. I agree with that.
Yeah. I saw when they drafted it, I think the GM of the Titans was the same part of the franchise and, you know, part of the drafting process when they drafted Mahomes, when the Bengals drafted Burrow. They list off like four quarterbacks and they're all playoff caliber quarterbacks. I've seen a lot of good things from Cam Ward. And then, like you said, it was the obvious normal pick. Moving on to number two, it was I have the wrong thing pulled up. It was the Jaguars. Of course, they made a huge trade with Cleveland. They gave away the house to get Travis Hunter. How do you feel about it?
Well, I predicted that the Browns would trade it, just not to the right team.
Same.
I had the Raiders, but I had them picking Travis. I mean, he's the best overall. He's probably the best overall athlete in the NFL draft. I put on here, like in my notes, I don't understand why they take him over Jeunty, just because they have Brian Thomas Jr. They didn't really need another receiver.
I think it's the DB capabilities.
But they could also play. Yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah.
But I'd rather take Jeunty just because their run game was very mediocre and subpar.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I would have taken Jeunty, but.
Yeah, Jeunty at two would be crazy. I get it. They need DBs. It makes sense. I'm trying to pull up the trade. They gave away next year's first round pick for this.
Yeah, they gave up the fifth pick this year, next year's first, a second and a sixth.
Gave up the fifth, 36th, and then 126th in this year's, and they got the second. The Browns slid only back three spots, still got the guy they wanted. And, they got next year's first round pick of the Jags. They kind of won that trade big there. I don't care who. Travis Hunter could be the best player in NFL history. And I think they still won that trade. I mean, you get another first round pick to work with. You slide back only three spots and they still make the pick they want. Kind of Browns masterclass. First time that's ever been said.
Yeah, right. The only time I've seen the Browns do something good was in that movie Draft Day. the fictional movie. It was the only time I saw the Browns franchise make a crazy move that actually worked in their favor.
Moving on was the Giants at three. With that, they took Abdul Carter. I feel like this is another one that's kind of a no-brainer. They could have went many different ways on this. As a Patriots fan, I kind of wanted Abdul Carter, but they got the best edge rusher on the board, and you got to be happy with Abdul Carter.
Yeah, he's a generational player. It adds a lot. It adds a lot to their defensive front that they already have. They have Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau. Now you add him into the equation. Plus, you have so much more that you can have on that defense. That just unlocks even more talent than what you need. And so they could use him as the buffer. Okay, Thibodeau wants out. Let's trade him. Bring in somebody, and we'll use Abdul Carter. He's pretty solid. I gave, the NFL gave him a grade A. They gave the Jaguars an A- on the Travis Hunter pick. But an A, I would take that as an A+ pick in my personal opinion.
Abdul Carter? I think I agree with that.
Just because they could have gone so many ways, and I think they took the second best overall player in the draft.
Yeah, we'll talk about what the Giants did a little bit later. Next up's the Patriots, Will Campbell, tackle from LSU. A normal pick. They needed an offensive line for Drake May. It's one of the most normal picks in the draft.
Yeah, it was expected. It was expected for them to go Will Campbell. He has crazy upside, potential to be one of the greats. He's got great size, great speed. His footwork's phenomenal. He can anchor pretty well.
Have you seen his hands? He's got generationally small hands, and that is his only downside.
But it doesn't matter.
Good. Or maybe it's arm length. Yeah. Something about him's tiny, and they hate it.
They showed a graphic during the draft of snaps in the past two seasons. He had 989 and he allowed two sacks in all those snaps.
Yeah. Next up, moving at the five pick was the Browns. They took an interior lineman, a D lineman in Mason Graham. I actually had this on our last segment. I said they might take Mason Graham. Kind of early for Mason Graham, but again, I like the pick. They needed the pass rush, surprisingly, even when they had Myles Garrett, and nice pick.
Yeah, it was great pick. It adds depth to their defensive front, which they need. And they need to open it up more for Myles Garrett. You add that presence on the inside, take some pressure on the outside from Myles Garrett. But not only that, they also have another edge rusher on the other side that could start, developing and eating up and getting more pressure on the opposing QB. So I didn't think that was a bad pick. NFL graded it a B+. I don't know why. I'd give it an A-, but B+ sounds fair.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's fair.
We'll go to Jeunty. We're going with the Raiders at number six. I think you kind of picked that one or expected it pretty close. You had the Raiders taking GT, I think.
No, I had him trade up to two to take Travis Hunter. That's
you're I'm right. You humored it. I like it. I mean, this was another one when he was kind of projected to go to the Raiders. I don't love him in that offense. It's kind of a subpar offense, but maybe he can get things going over there.
They didn't have much of a run game. You know, it was kind of a committee backfield with, you know, mid-tier running backs that were just mid, and more mid.
Yeah.
They weren't good. And I think their leading rusher had like 400 yards this year.
All right, we'll move on. We're not going to go in order now because no one cares about the Jets taking a tackle. So we'll go to the Colts next because this is who you have next on the dock. You had them taking the tight end Tyler Warren and they picked him.
Yeah, so craziest thing. I was sitting there watching the draft and me and my dad were talking. We're like, oh, Warren's going to go here. He said, well, Warren's going to go here. Why wouldn't they take him? He's the best available player. I said, they won't take him. The team needs other things than a tight end. They won't take him. And the more and more Tyler Warren fell, my dad's face just got more and more serious. And it gets to the Dolphins pick. And he's like, who do you think they're going to go? I said, they're going to go defense. I was like, they don't need Tyler Warren. They have a good offense. They need defense because they're pushing Jalen Ramsey out. They need defense. So they go defense. And my dad's like, how did you know they were going to go defense? I was like, have you watched a Dolphins game recently? Right. But yeah, Tyler Warren, I put on here, he's Gronk mixed with Kyle Pitts' athletic ability.
So the only thing that confused me was every Colts fan I know was talking about this pick, Tyler Warren. Why did the Bears take Colston Loveland at 10, another tight end out of Michigan?
So, okay, they're both different. So Tyler Warren's more like Gronkowski. He's big, physical, can win downfield because of his size, right?
Mm-hmm.
Loveland is that finesse tight end, like Antonio Gates or Travis Kelce. They're going to win more with their route running, find the holes, sit there and get the easy receptions. That's what he is more like. And that fits the Bears offense more with Ben Johnson coming in as head coach. I don't think they needed Tyler Warren. I really didn't think they were going to take Colston Loveland either.
Yeah.
I was expecting Omarion Hampton or a running back.
I don't know. I think it's a weird pick for the Colts. Like, what do you need to push over the edge right now? I don't know if that's a pass catcher. They'd like one. I don't know if a tight end is going to do that and push you into the playoffs and get a positive record, but it's not going to hurt, you know? You think, yeah, the run blocking?
Listen, we need a tight end. Our tight end play these past couple seasons has not been solid. You know, Mo Alie-Cox.
32, I think.
He's getting up there. Kylan Granson. He's a no-name. Jelani Woods can't stay healthy. Who's our? We have a fourth tight end. We have a committee of tight ends in our tight end room that they're all just subpar.
Mm-hmm.
But look at some of these other teams. You got, you know, Trey McBride out in Arizona. He's the leader in that tight end room. Cole Kmet up in Chicago. Pat Freiermuth out in Pittsburgh. Obviously Kittle. You got Kelce. You got Kyle Pitts. Like, you have a tight end pretty much set in almost every other team except Indy. You know, we bring in Tyler Warren, that could maybe set the precedent. Hey, now we have a tight end, so let's start building our other pieces. I think we go O-line in the next round or two, build up some other things on the offensive side. I don't know.
All right, we're going to move on to what I thought was the most questionable pick of the first round. At the 25, the Giants took Jackson Dart. So Shedeur Sanders falls out of the first round. Number one, that's a head scratcher. He must have bombed all of his draft interviews, must be character issues. I don't know. Wild, no NFL team wants him in the first round. And then for the Giants, you trade into 25 to take Jackson Dart, a quarterback I didn't think was going to go in the first round at all. The 26th, the Falcons, 27th, Ravens, 8th, Lions, Commanders, Bills, Eagles, Chiefs. None of those teams need quarterbacks. Why did you pull into the 25 to take a quarterback that wasn't going to go in the first round, and there probably weren't going to be any more quarterbacks in the first round?
That's my thing. I didn't understand it. The Giants are kind of a questionable franchise, if I do say so myself. You know, we kind of have one of their quarterbacks on the Colts roster right now, Mr. Daniel Jones. But I will say this, you know, Dable's trying to do something. Dart is not the move. I'm going to say it right now. Jackson Dart is not the move. He doesn't let plays develop. He doesn't lead his passes correctly. He throws hospital passes too much. Overall, he physically, he can run, has a great deep ball, very inconsistent, and when he doesn't let plays develop, and that's going to be a big issue.
I don't know. Just at pick 25 is so weird to me. I mean, mm-hmm. they announced the pick, and then the analysts are like, yeah, I like this for these reasons. They got to Jackson Dart, and they couldn't say anything good about him. For the 25th overall pick, I don't like that. What's your opinion on Shedeur Sanders is our last thing. Falling out of the draft, of course, he could have gone to the Giants here. They could have taken him early. Falls all the way out of the first round.
See, I didn't think Shedeur should have fell out of the first round. I wasn't expecting pick 25 to get traded to the Giants. I was expecting Shedeur to go 26th to the Rams before they traded away to Atlanta. I was expecting that. Bring in Shedeur. He's accurate. He can run a little bit. You bring him in, have him learn underneath Stafford, who's a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, has brought you a Super Bowl, has developed Puka Nacua into an all-pro receiver, and you throw Shedeur into that system, learn behind Stafford for a couple years. Once Stafford's gone, you plug in Shedeur. He's learned your offense. He knows what he's doing, and you don't get him for the price of a top five pick. That sounds like a deal, but, I think NFL GMs are looking at it like, all the drama that he brings, with who he is and who his dad is and, all that. I think that's kind of the turn off.
Can you imagine Shedeur going to LA? Like, that's 10 Instagram posts I don't need to see.
Oh, dude, no. He would fit so well in a big market, LA.
I know.
The Giants would have been a great place for him. Philly would have been a great place. Obviously, you don't need him,
mm-hmm.
but what I'm saying? These bigger market teams, that would be a great place for him.
Well, that'll about wrap up the segment. It was a pretty entertaining NFL draft. It was a fun night to watch. We'll see who does Shedeur falls mm-hmm. to and a few of the other picks that kind of slid down there. I know Will Johnson comes to mind. I don't know how he didn't get taken first round.
And Mike Green from Marshall
mm-hmm.
led the nation in sacks, had a crazy pro day, crazy Senior Bowl. Like, come on now.
I feel like people are going to look back at this draft and say, like, what happened? It was this weird one.
This was a bad draft anyways.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this segment. For Michael Hooker, I'm Zion Palmieri. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook.
Well, that is going to be it for you guys today. Thank you guys for tuning in to ASN's Inside the Playbook.
Thank you for tuning in to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 917 WEEM.